all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to American Vindicta. Today we are going to have a Doug and Dave Intel report, but before we get started, I want to talk to you about Calico Buffalo Base Camp. Jamie Walden is holding another Warrior Summit conference in the year 2023. It is going to be July 27th through the 30th, and we ask for anyone who is interested to come out and hang out with us and do some fellowshipping with us. We're going to be talking about faith havens, the underground church, how to set up and coordinate the underground church, and networking. And it's going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be something for anybody with a family to come out and enjoy. Out in the Durango, Colorado area, there's all different types of things that you can go out there to do, from exploring the Four Corners area. And, you know, this is a place to have a nice controlled vacation, just hang out with people and, you know, make some new friendships. So this year's Warrior Summit Conference, like I said, we'll be focusing on the Faith Haven development, networking as to how to coordinate the underground church. The hour is late. The time is precious. The time is a ride for us to assemble together. Begin coordinating places of refuge for God's people in the days that are upon us. Out there at the Calico Buffalo Base Camp, they'll be offering breakout sessions daily, which will cover several pertinent topics related to faith havens and the underground church. And like I said, being in the Rocky Mountain, Colorado area, there's a numerous amounts of places for you to take your family to go out, enjoy a nice, lovely little vacation. Here are the pricing. The ticket pricing includes the entire weekend event and all workshops and 7 meals. No pets are permitted on the base camp, but the adults are $185 a person. Children 6 to 18 are $65 a person. There will be RV hookups with an additional charge for $45 for the weekend. Cabin rentals that sleep 6 to 8 people are $100 for a weekend. And you must bring your own bedding and cabins, but make sure you call and you find out if there are any of these cabins that are on site still available. If not, there are a numerous amounts of places where you can do bed and breakfast. You can go to the hotels within the area. For any questions on the event, you need to contact Jamie Walden at 863-207-0257. Contact Luke at 863-207-0257. This is going to be a very interesting time. I'm going to be speaking there. I'm going to be talking about how to prepare an area based off logistics, based off security measures. And we're going to have open forums of discussion and, you know, questions and answering. Hopefully we'll be able to square some of these things away. If not, we can at least plant the seed in your mind as to how you should probably prepare a small community of people who are going to be gathering together. Look, you cannot deny that with the soon-to-be introduction of World War III, this next coming election, they're already trying to put Donald Trump through his third Espionage Act trial. The enemy that is among us, amidst us, is active. It's very active. We as the church need to be more active. We need to be proactive, not reactive. If you are reactive, when all this stuff starts, you're going to be behind the power ball. And that's never a good thing, man. You need to be steadily being more prepared now spiritually and physically, economically. You need to be gathering with people. You need to be discussing out different ways of survival. You know, we talk about this not anecdotally. What would the Jews from Nazi Germany have done if they knew that the concentration camps were coming, the death camps were coming? What would they have done? What would the Russian citizens have done had they known communism was going to kill half their country? We can look back in history and we can see the need for preparedness. We can read our Bibles and understand the level of preparedness that is needed. So if you'd like to come and visit, hang out, if you'd like to fellowship with us, learn a little bit, and have a nice little vacation at the same time, before all the lockdowns start back up, before all the rioting starts back up, come hang out with us. But if not, God bless you. God be with you. God be with us all. May his mercy extend upon everyone who is listening to this. In Jesus' name, I pray for you all. Amen. See you guys next time. Enjoy the show.
From American Vindicta, he's here with us. And so therefore, you know, you're watching an edition of the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And we're going to cover a couple of things, and we may deviate a little bit from this and expand. But for the next 50 minutes, we're going to be talking about, well, it's pretty interesting. We're going to be talking about the effect of shedding. And certainly this can't go on a lot of platforms because, oh, there's no such thing. But that's not what the research is showing. And we're going to be talking about the country Western song that says we're going to have our values in our small town come hell or high water. And the other people don't like that. They don't want you standing up for your rights. They don't want you standing up for your values. And so what they'll do is they'll just say, oh, you're a racist, and we'll just cancel the song. Meanwhile, Garth Brooks, who's got low friends in high places, can come out and still advocate for a war that's killing untold numbers of people. Inhuman war, increasing child sex trafficking, illegal gun running, confiscation of American tax resources diverted from the main purpose. And Garth Brooks can support all that. But we take a guy that talks about American small town values and we censor him. We're going to get into all this here on the Doug and Dave Intel Report. Doug, you want to take the shedding issue? And let me just say this. I want to say what I told Doug before we came on. Tom Rentz, attorney Tom Rentz, who has a show over on Brighteon now, and Tom was the first lawyer for the Frontline Doctors. And the Frontline Doctors in the very early days did an awesome job exposing a lot of the medical risks of the vaccines. And Tom exposed the concept of shedding along, you know, from the doctor's stuff. And he came on my show a couple of times and we discussed this at some length. Well, now there is mainstream medical research supporting this. Do you want to take it from there?
Yeah. So we have, I'm trying not to butcher her last name, but Anna Maria Melcia, I believe, MD, PhD. She posted an article titled "Rubbery Clot Formation Shown in Living COVID-19 Unvaccinated Person Via Dark Field Microscopy," and it was a hydrogel that's replacing the blood. Now, this is kind of crazy when you read it. I'm no MD, but we did reach out for her to see if we can get an interview for her so she can explain this a little bit. But she has a website, Anna M.I. HALCEAMD PhD.substack.com. Please go there and read this for yourself. Okay. So we're looking at an image right here of COVID-19 from unvaccinated live blood analysis that shows hydrogel sheets that have used red blood as a substrate and created rubbery clots.
Doug, is this necessary to give a screen share on this?
Yeah, we can. Stand by.
Okay, let me, I can do that right from here. Hang on just a second. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for your patience here. I wasn't. Okay, I don't know why we're getting that. Okay, here we go. All right.
All right,
You should
thanks.
have that. You should have that capability now.
Got it. Thanks, Dave. Okay, so this is what she's looking at through this dark microscope. Correlation of severity of live blood contamination seen on dark field microscopy with visible clotting in COVID-19 unvaccinated individuals. So we'll continue to read this, but just to give a quick synopsis. I believe what she's saying through her study is that people living with people that have had the vaccine are getting vaccine-like injuries because of the protein shedding of the virus that was injected into them from the mRNA shots. And even if you weren't vaccinated, there are people who are now displaying the same type of blood clotting issues as the vaccinated. And that's when I went into a holy crap mode. This is bad. All right. So in this article, she says, I'm correlating the dark field live blood microscopy findings with the blood draw test. Monday live blood analysis of the COVID-19 unvaccinated individuals shows high level contamination with many spherical construction sites, hydrogel CDB filaments, Rollo formation in only one drop of blood. This contamination comes from a COVID-19 vaccine shed.
Yeah, let me share this with you.
Go ahead.
When I had Celeste on last year, okay, scroll down again. Oh, back up to where you were, we just read from. Celeste came on and she talked about the hydrogel. She talked about the shedding effect, and I had mentioned Tom Renz to her in that, and then she did talk about the fact that it was communicable, and the belief was it could be transmitted by being airborne from one person to another. Did you find any evidence of airborne transmission here?
I believe that's part of it. Yes, I believe that
Okay.
is part of it. So she says that the unvaccinated individual is symptomatic from COVID-19 vaccine shedding as they live with a vaccinated individual and have been suffering ever since from symptoms of fatigue, malaise, emotional stress, nausea, and more. The blood shows self-assembly of the polymer mesh network. Many quantum dot light emitting structures coordinating self-assembly. The
Hold it right
hydrogel.
there. Let me interpret this. I know what this means. And I'm not saying you don't, but I want to point this out. This is key. When you go to go back to where you were,
It's right here.
what you were just reading from, okay. When you were talking about self-assembly of the polymer mesh network, this is what Celeste and I talked about, a smart virus. It's capable of not only assembling itself once it's in the body, okay, it also, she said, it has the ability to be adaptable. So, in other words, if you were to devise a treatment against it, Celeste was of the belief that this could mutate to avoid, kind of like what viruses do now to too much antibiotic use. We made that analogy. So, this is something I've seen, but this gives us, I'll say this, Celeste was in the cutting edge days of this. This is much more comprehensive than what Celeste and I talked about.
Yeah, and I remember this conversation that you guys had. Well, she goes on to say that she's talking about the overview of hydrogel polymer found in one drop of blood. Remember 2020, the rumor mill was that COVID-19 and then the subsequent vaccines, the multiple vaccines, had polymer structures in them. When hit with a certain frequency, they would align themselves together and build structures, right? Everybody remember this? Okay.
I do.
That's what she sees here too. So she says, please remember when I did the microscopic analysis on a clot from a COVID-19 vaccine individual and found the hydrogel rubbery material with some red blood cells embedded into them. And here's the comparisons. Comparison microscopic analysis of three COVID-19 vaccinated blood clots shows no difference between vaccine-injured and asymptomatic nanotech synthetic biology filaments seen. So yeah. You see this disgusting stuff right here? This is what she's seeing. And this is from vaccinated individuals.
Okay. Can I play devil's advocate for a moment here just to show that we're trying to show some scientific research responsibility here? I think there's merit to what this doctor is doing. But I have to say this. I would like to see full-blown research stats, and she may very well have them. But in other words, you have to have enough subjects to pass what they call levels of significance. In other words, if you ever hear the research is showing a trend, but more research needs to be done, what they're saying is they haven't eliminated the fact that the probability of your findings is not due to chance at less than 5%. You want a 95% confidence level. We call that the level of significance in research. And what we need to see here is that she has enough numbers and enough replicable studies to show that this is definitively the case. Now, you could have people win a $1 billion lottery and defy the odds. This could be a defying the odds kind of finding unless we have replicable research that shows the same thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying what she's saying is wrong, because listen, frontline doctors were talking about this 4 years, 3 years ago. So I think it's absolutely accurate. Celeste has talked about it. She's been highly credible. But when I look at this here, I want her to take this to the next level. Does she, in this research, is there anywhere we can go to show what the numbers are and what the level of confidence is? And it would be expressed like this, Doug. You'd see a formula that says P equals less than sign 0.05.
I believe she has that whenever you go into the full story. So,
okay. All right. Whenever- so what we'll have to do is, I don't want to take up the audience's time right now by researching it, but I think that's worthy of our search. Now, let me just say this. We have a trend curve at minimum with this research. Okay. We have a trend curve. We can show clear similarities between unvaccinated and vaccinated with regard to clotting. Okay. We can show that here in this. Okay. How statistically applicable is this to the general population is the question we need to do. But here's the thing I'm going to tell you. We have the frontline doctor saying it 3 years ago. We have Celeste saying it a year and a half later. And now we have another doctor making the same findings. At the very minimum, we have extremely strong trend curves, which shows the probability that this is true. We just need to close the loop statistically. And I'm sorry, Doug, to be so technical, but I want our show to be on the highest level of credibility.
Yeah, no, I'm not a doctor, so I completely understand it.
Well, this is what I used to teach at the university level. So,
and this is what you
something
see.
I know pretty well.
This is what you see from live blood analysis from an individual that's unvaccinated, and they're showing the same symptoms of this self-assembly hydrogel within their blood. Here, let me ask you this much. Okay, so she goes on to say that this stuff is affected by frequency. So my wife and I were discussing this problem the other day. Was if frequency is a factor now, is that still what we're talking about with 5G?
Yes. It's Celeste's position, and this comes from FEMA leaks. She quoted FEMA documents that she got a hold of. And remember, she had a FEMA background, extensive FEMA background, a high level. She showed there was a frequency interaction effect linked to 5G. I've had Virginia Farver on my show, who's a 5G expert, and Virginia has repeatedly said 5G will be interacting with vaccine effects and other maladies designed to bring on symptoms of illness, not just vaccine, but in general. What we know about mental health, mood states, and now we're finding it, it's true in illness, is that frequency affects the health of a cell. In fact, I've had Dr. Sherry Edwards on my show a lot, who's developed a technology that can do a lot. One of the things she can do is measure health through voice frequencies that get charted into sub-analysis. And she can tell, look, I'll tell you, she did this on me, and my audience has seen this. She did my a brief health profile. She knew what I had when I was young that no one would even know I had today, because the memory of it resides in my cells. And it's frequency-based. So long explanation to your question, but frequency is absolutely interlocked with this, and this doctor is correct.
Yeah, I think this is one of the new scary factors of what we have to deal with this new plague phenomenon, that it's just, it's non-ceasing now. There's a new plague that CDC and the WHO are monitoring that's happening in Europe. I think so far 8 people have died from it. But, you know,
I got a little stat on this.
Okay, give it to
the
us.
The UK National Health Service came out, and I think I might have reported on this. I don't remember, but I read it. They said that the new variant of COVID, and that's what they're referring to it as, and they have a name for it. It's called Crimean Congo. God, I would forget the term. Hemorrhagic fever. That's what it is. CCHF. That's what they're calling it. And they said it's 10 to 40% fatal.
Well, you had me at hemorrhagic fever.
Well, that goes to what we've talked about. Listen, the Celeste Marburg and I have disease. Covered this too. Celeste and I have done a few shows on this, mm-hmm. to where we know that Ebola, that's been mutated, artificially mutated and weaponized, will be in our future. And she had the documents to show it. So, what we're looking at now is the next plandemic. Did you hear the word I used? Plandemic.
Mm-hmm. Designer.
That's what we're looking at.
Designer wars, designer plagues.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about. So, and once again, man, perfect timing, you know, 2023, we're going to be having the election process starting up soon. Everybody's going to be running for president, and then the next plague hits. They're already talking about lockdowns in Europe, and now we're starting to discuss the application of lockdowns here in America, which, guess how that's probably going to work? Not well. And you know what? Let's bring this up. Because we talked about lockdowns like 2020, what else happened in 2020 during the election time? Riots. So that moves us on to a nice little segue into Jason Aldean, the country singer. Jason Aldean, I like some of his music. I don't listen to country music anymore just because it's all become so wussified. But he has been just, you know, crucified to the wall because he came out with a song that depicts people in 2020, more or less, that were just destroying everything through the Black Lives Matter riots and Antifa riots. And he said, try that in a small town. Now, Dave, I come from a very small town of 400 people. We back in Southeast Texas, where all of us Raging Cajuns are from, me and my wife's town, we have less than 400 people. We had more horses and cattle than we did people. But, I mean, just within our little area, I think we had like 15 churches. So, you know, that's your average small town America.
Yeah. I'm going to give you one too, and I'm not going to mention the name of the community, but, I know a community well in Colorado. It's a small town community and a small town region. And before their athletic events, before their school events, before community events, they pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have told these people in a public meeting, I'm saying treasure and protect what you have, because it isn't this way across the country.
No, it's not. It is not. And I will say this. I think you're going to see a resurgence of patriotism in America that is going to be reminiscent to 1776. Should the lockdowns occur again? Should these horrific protests occur again? And they're not protests. They were planned, scheduled demolition of cities. And you know what? I'll say this. For the Democratic people, if you want your city burnt down, don't do anything. But I'm going to say what Jason Aldean said. Don't come to a small town and try this. They tried it out in Weatherford, Texas, where I live right now. And I remember, because I was still in law enforcement, there was a Saturday. I'm going to take the kids, go get an ice cream, because we go in town once a week, go get an ice cream, go get, you know, feed and whatever from the feed store. And I come through the center town to get across the courthouse. It's the only round that we have in the town. And there's about 3,000 people with rifles and pistols and in their tactical gear with American flags everywhere. And there was 19 people from Black Lives Matter who were protesting on the courthouse grounds. And I was like, what in the hell am I driving through?
Yeah.
That's the type of response we need.
The same thing happened in Prescott, Arizona. And it was actually covered in the mainstream media. I was surprised where the townspeople rose up, and Yavapai is a very patriotic county in Arizona, probably the most patriotic county in America. And I have to tell you that they've been overrun by the communists, George Soros influences and so forth, the cartel influences. But I will say this, they had to call in police protection for the Antifa people in the Prescott county seat. Yep. They were protesting outside the county building. They had to call in sheriff's protection because they were worried about the safety of the 20 or so protesters that showed up. You had 19. I think they mentioned 20 in Yavapai County, which is a little over 100,000 people.
Yeah, man. You know, this is what we're eventually going to see is, I don't know, Dave, how would you say this? We're going to see an eventual conflict, a confrontation between patriots and people who have lost their damn minds. And law enforcement, you're going to get thrown into the middle of it. You already know that. And I suggest, law enforcement, you do what we did back then. You either choose the right side, which is to protect property, life, and the will of the people, we the people, or don't show up for work that day like a lot of you did and let your cities burn down. So, you know, that's my personal opinion on it. I say law enforcement needs to have a heavy hand presence this year. No screwing around, no kneeling with people, no holding hands and walking in solidarity so that, you know, we don't get made fun of or whatever. Screw the Biden administration. Go do your job. Go do your job or go hang your gun belt up. That's what you should do. God forbid I ever get involved in government again and I'm in charge of law enforcement.
Yeah, but let me tell you what happened here in the Phoenix area. What happened in the Phoenix area, Doug, was just reprehensible. We had a police chief named Jerry Williams, and Jerry, black female. So it's relevant to the argument to mention her gender and her race. And by all accounts, she was cleaning up a corrupt department that was overrun by communist democratic ideals. And she was building a merit-based system. And a lot of people didn't like her because people are uncomfortable with change. And she cleaned up a lot of the BS. Well, when Antifa and Black Lives Matter, mostly it was Antifa, they started destroying Scottsdale. The governor stepped in because you can't let the rich elite have their property affected. So they stopped that there. But in downtown Phoenix, where who cares if they burned down the city? Well, the chief of police of Phoenix did. And so what Jerry said is, you know, we're not wanting to kill anybody, but we are standing our ground and we're protecting our community. And there was one guy who was out there in front flipping people off, approaching the police line, violating orders to back off. And they fired a beanbag at him and it hit him in the nuts. And he went down to the ground. Remember, you probably saw the video because the liberals used it far and wide.
It was an amazing shot.
And eventually, but here's what ended up happening. And this is going to be the danger going forward. What happened to Chief Williams is going to happen across the country in this next set of lockdowns. Chief Williams, about three or four months after the event, came under Merrick Garland DOJ investigation for violating the civil rights of a protester. And she got a one-day suspension. And you know what she did? She served out her contract and she said, screw you, quietly. and walked away without fanfare. That's what happened to a police officer, a chief of police, who dared to stand up. And the woman's a Democrat. But she valued the safety of her citizens and the sanctity of their property above the bullshit of Antifa and Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, and that's what we need. I know a lot of people, because of 2020, have a really bad taste of law enforcement in their mouth, especially with all the stuff going on with the FBI. But I will say this, take the FBI and make it its own thing. Your local law enforcement needs your support to the extent that your local law enforcement needs you to remind them occasionally who the hell they work for. They don't work for the governor. They don't work for the mayor. They work for we, the people. Go out there and remind them. Protest against them. Protest against them. I'm completely for it. When they supposed to be protecting, protest against them.
Kyle Rittenhouse. Here's the flip side of this. When the police don't do their job like Chief Williams did in Phoenix, when the police don't do their job, it's up to the individual citizens to protect their own property and protect their own lives. So what does he do? He goes out and protects his own life. The guy pulled a gun on him. And the guy even admitted to it on the stand. And the liberals out there still say, oh, he's a racist. He's a murderer. And there was a guy who admitted on the stand, yeah, I was going to shoot him. This is the incredible BS we're dealing with right now. Folks, Jason's right. Not in a small town, but it should be not in my community.
That's right.
Not on my property.
And there wouldn't...
You come on my property, okay? You got firebombs, you got guns, and you're threatening. It's going to be one of us is going down.
Well, and I support Jason Aldean. I've seen quite a few black rap artists who have came out and have on YouTube, and they publicly reviewed his music video. And you know what they said? What's racist about this?
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing.
Well, here's the thing. These black rap artists didn't get to a level of success because they're stupid. That old Nazi trilogy, the first group, I did nothing. I came for the second group, I said nothing. Then when they came for me, there was no one left to speak. The black rap artists understand this. Kudos to them for standing
that's
up.
That's that, but you know what? You made a great point. And I'll say this as a follower of Jesus Christ, I don't care about your race. I don't care about your ideologies. I care about my Lord and, you know, winning souls for the kingdom.
Exactly.
Outside of that, as Americans, our Philadelphia for one another has never been lower than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is atrocity in the streets. People have waxed cold for one another. There is no love for one another. It has gotten really weird out there, this whole transgender thing. But Dave, we may, by the grace of God, see a resurgence in Philadelphia of brotherly love in America. If people will come together, I pray it doesn't take another 9/11, another trick by the elite for us to come together. But I think that's what is in store for us to go to Ukraine. I think, and this is what I've been proposing for a while, I wouldn't be shocked, Dave, if there was a large-scale terrorist attack done by, quote, white supremacists that, quote, wore MAGA hats, and then later in the investigation, they find out we're paid by the Russians.
Right? I totally agree. I was going to add that in. You're right. In fact, there's a meeting that we need to alert to, and I'm going to do more research on this. And I've mentioned this in passing. In September of 2024, there's a meeting of effectively G20 nations, but they're adding a lot of other first world nations that aren't in the G20. And they're meeting, I believe, in China, of all places. And they're discussing international cooperation, and one of the areas is policing efforts. That says the UN is coming on your soil to enforce their mandates. And when this new plandemic comes about, the World Health Organization, a subset of the UN, will be using UN troops to enforce lockdowns and mandatory vaccinations. Let's be really clear about that, folks. You can say, well, I got a medical exemption. That's the American Medical Association and your state health board. That is not the World Health Organization. Take your vaccine and die, or don't take your vaccine and die. They'll kill you one way or the other.
Yeah, insane, man. All right, let's move on to the next set of articles we got here from Breitbart.
Well, hold on. I want to go back to the shedding thing for a second.
Okay.
I want to make sure I'm really clear. This doctor that you're talking about, Dr. Anna Marie, because I can't remember how to say her last name, but Dr. Anna Marie's research, she very well may have closed the loop on what I talked about earlier with level of significance. And I want you to send me the URL for this, and I'm going to go through it with a fine tooth comb.
Right.
And then I'll do a follow up on this channel. But here's what I'm going to do. When we have conclusive scientific proof, P equals less than 0.05, your level of significance is determined, I'm going to look at medical school rosters for faculty, and I'm going to look at people who were at retirement age. And you could pretty well tell by their vitae, I graduated from college in 1970. Okay, well, they could walk away and retire now. If you go to a mid-career professional with this data, they are not going to say a word about it because they want to get to retirement. But these senior medical professors, they could be turned, some of them. Some of them can be turned. And that's going to be my approach to try to get more doctors to speak out against this abuse.
Yeah, we need the doctors on our side. Well, I mean, how many hundreds of doctors came out in 2020 and were completely blacklisted by social media and by Joe Biden's government, not to include media platforms like YouTube, the biggest in the world. And you know, 2 years later, oh yeah, it was all true. Oh, we'll just forget about it.
Well,
Operation
Doug,
Mockingbird complete.
Yeah, well, that's a good statement. Operation Mockingbird. When I taught, I did this for 4.5 years. I taught graduate students how to do the research for their dissertation. I did that for 4.5 years. And we went through protocols of teaching. We followed the AMA and the FDA's guidelines for how to bring a drug to market. Now, we didn't worry about the commercial aspects of it, the limits on advertising, which you can and can't say. We focused strictly on scientific protocols. And I'll just give you a couple of examples. You have to have animal testing, okay? You have to do control group, experimental group, placebo, all that stuff. Okay, so you have to include all that. And then you go into human testing with volunteers, and then you test a certain segment of the population. And this is why in the old days, when we were really following the rules, it would take 5 to 10 years to bring a drug to market. I know this process inside out because I taught it for quite a while. You really learn something when you teach it. Here's the deal. When they brought when Pfizer and these other pharmaceuticals brought the vaccine to market, the little bit of animal testing they did, they all died. They didn't do any human testing because they can't have humans dropping dead and bring the drug to market. They didn't follow any of the protocols for scientific research. And I was saying that at the time. And someone who advised me on YouTube said, Dave, go take that stuff off. I don't care if it's scientifically valid. They're going to defend the pharmaceuticals. So I said, okay, at least I get some word out, even if it's not here. And I took my vaccine information to other platforms that would allow me to post. But what I'm telling you, Doug, is I was on top of this from day one, and I was no different than the frontline doctors. I was no different than doctors speaking out that lost their licenses. You know, Peter McCullough being one example of this. There were thousands of us people that spoke out. It's just you didn't hear a lot about it because the mainstream media is owned by the pharmaceuticals. And if you don't believe me, okay, just track how many medical commercials are on their nightly news shows on CNN and Fox News. It's nothing but pharmaceutical crap. And it's really funny, Doug. Have you noticed at the end of all these pharmaceutical commercials, they give you all the risks that they must present by law, could cause rapid heartbeat, has been linked to some forms of cancer. Do not take this if you've ever had high blood pressure. These things go on for like 15, 20 seconds. And what I'm saying is, who would ever listen to the end of this? And the guy's speaking 100 miles an hour like he's an auctioneer. Who would ever take this shit if you could hear what they're really saying? And you go, I wouldn't touch that medicine. And here's the thing. How are they allowing these medicines to come to market that have all these side effects? It's because the pharmaceuticals control the medical establishment. Let me tell you real quick how they do it. When you retire from Big Pharma, you go to work for the CDC, the FDA, or some government organization that has regulatory oversight. And when you retire from the government positions that have regulatory oversight, you're richly rewarded by taking your expertise and your sphere of influence with you to the pharmaceuticals. And so it's a big incestuous relationship. That's how this is done. And this is no secret, people. This has been going on for decades.
Yeah, I was watching one that was before my dad died, and it was actually one of the medicines that they had him on for dementia. And at the end, it says occasionally causes death.
Occasionally, they're required to list the incidents.
I was just sitting there and I almost spit my sweet tea out. I was like,
oh my gosh,
what? Who the hell says that? Hey, put it in there. It occasionally causes death. The dementia guy won't get it.
When my mother got to her 80s, my sister and I discovered that she was on 6 medications. And I looked at her and I said, look, I deal in this stuff in my professional life. I teach research methods, as you know. I said, how does this strike? And my sister was very bright. She was a school administrator, a master's degree. And she said, I think this is BS. And I said, let's go through these and do the research on what each one of these drugs is supposed to do. So we went through all 16. They were using drugs that were counterproductive and contraindicated. One drug one shouldn't be used with drug two. We found 3 instances of that. And then we also found drugs that duplicated performance. So what one drug did, the other drug said they were doing the same thing. 16. So this doctor was doing a hell of a job keeping the pharmaceuticals in the green. So we went to him with a list, and we handed him the list, and I had all the contraindications, all the duplications of treatment, and I handed it to him. And he didn't even want to let my sister and I in. And I says, no, we're representing our mother's interests. And it took me about 3 weeks to get my mom on board with this too, because she had blind faith in the doctors. And after we were done talking to her, she didn't. And we were in there, and he just said, by what expertise, what medical school did you go to? And I says, well, I teach this at a fairly high level. And I started quoting what I did. And I said, these are the research protocols that are being violated. And I was able to sum it up in about 20 seconds. And I said, we're going to make some modifications here. We're going to find another doctor. We walked out of there, and she was on 3 medications. That's how bad the system is, Doug. I'm telling you, my mom is the billboard. She was the billboard for what's wrong with how we treat the elderly.
It's a predatory system. So yeah. I remember, and I'm sure, you know, the listeners out there, y'all probably experienced some of this as well. One of the pills, bottles of pills, you know, like a little bottle of pill like this, was $22,000 for 30 pills. Just go down to your local Walgreens, go pick up your $22,000 worth of pills. $730 worth for one pill. And you know what? Didn't work. The doctor had them on it for a month and then took them off of it.
Well, what they also do in the research for this about how they get a drug to market, they do it a lot with fake research too. You have to have a placebo group. In other words, you give them saline, sugar, water, whatever. You're not giving the real drug. And you measure that versus the effect of the drug on a randomly selected population. But they often cheat on the random selection. So in other words, let's say you have 1,000 people in a test group. You would go 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, and then throw the division list into a computer, and it randomizes it again. So you have no chance of fudging the results. But what they started doing was pre-placebo testing, and they were putting people who had a high placebo response rate into the experimental group that they were giving the drug to, so the placebo rate on the control group would be much lower by comparison, because they were stacking the deck. Because there are some people that inherently have a high placebo response and some that have low, and they were separating it to make the drug look more effective than it was. And so that's one thing that goes on commonly in the pharmaceuticals. See, Doug, I really did teach this crap. I mean, all these years now is coming into play here. But I'm telling you, I know their tricks. And these doctors, like from the frontline doctors, God bless them. Seriously, God bless these frontline doctors, because they saw through this BS instantly, and they didn't care about their careers. They cared about their patient safety, and they suffered with their careers.
Yeah, it's and those are the people that are being targeted, and not just targeted, they came out with truth that could have helped save lives, like ivermectin. All right, we remember the whole ivermectin thing. Oh, now FDA approves it. Oh yeah, ivermectin probably works the best for COVID-19.
Okay. Well, I got COVID. Okay. So I got what's generally mild asthmatic symptoms, but that is a comorbid condition. Okay. And I was 20 pounds heavier than I am now. That's another comorbid condition. And I wasn't getting over the COVID. It wasn't life threatening. But I sure as hell wasn't going to go to the doctor, because I didn't want to have a respirator, put me on a respirator, do what all the bull crap they were doing to kill people. You and I both know the man who did this. He got me ivermectin. You know who he is. And we're not going to mention his name. And he shipped me the ivermectin in a brown paper bag, and I took it, and in 4 days I was completely cleared up. Completely cleared up. So our medical system is an organized mafia.
It's a mess.
I'm going to tell you what someone told me. You know that tornado that hit the Pfizer plant with the vaccines?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Okay. You know what I've been told? And the source on this is pretty good. I'll tell you off the air who told me. This was a white hat operation with localized HAARP capabilities to modify weather. I'm not kidding. And the source is really good, Doug.
Well,
I'm not going to say it on air, but
there's a
it's my best source.
it's a
You
unique
probably already know who it is.
it's a unique idea to think about. You know what? Pfizer's such a bunch of scumbags. I wish a tornado would just hit that place. And then, like, if God was listening to Elijah on high, oh, did you call down fire from the mountain? Tornado. And so when I saw it, I was like, man, how lucky. How lucky to get hit. Oh, and then they say a year's worth of pharmaceutical needs is now in danger because the plant got hit. Yeah, no thanks, Pfizer. We don't need your drugs. You can keep that.
Yeah. Well, Doug, I'd say this. I saw the atmospheric, shall we say, jet stream conditions. I don't want to say anymore because I don't want to give away the scientific source of what I saw. But I was actually shown some slides on a Zoom conference that we I was forced to erase for obvious reasons. But I saw how it happened. This tornado hit out of nowhere on this plant. It didn't have a roll-up of let's go down the highway and throw about 20 cars up in the air and destroy a couple buildings on the way to Pfizer. It only hit Pfizer.
It was a touch and go. That's
Exactly.
awesome.
Exactly.
Well, hey, we have the ability. I'm not denying it at all. We've had the ability since the 70s,
Yeah.
80s.
Well, let's talk about Nick Begich real quick. Nick Begich Jr. Love Nick Begich. He's kind of gotten out of the public life, and it's a great loss to our movement. But Nick wrote a book in the 90s called Angels Don't Play This Harp, HAARP, and he focused on the patents. He went out and he gained the patents from places like Eastman Kodak and all the contributors to Project HAARP, which can modify weather. And people say, oh, you can't do that. Well, excuse me, I've already published a document called Air Force Owning the Weather 2025. The patents were listed there. Nick had some of the same patents in his book. And nations have weather war treaties with each other. So I laugh at people that say, you can't do that. There's no such thing. That's science fiction. Well, then why do we have treaties that got filed with the UN with other countries not to weather war each other?
I'll tell you what, the day those treaties are broke, war changes in a way that we have never understood.
Exactly right. Yeah. Well, we've done it. I mean, you look at some Central American nations back in the late 70s and early 80s, when they went rogue against the United States and went communist, they got hit by earthquakes. And the way you do that is you bounce up an electrical ray off the jet stream, and it comes back down on a fault line. It excites the fault line, and the fault line becomes active. That's how you do it. I'm giving you a simplified explanation, but if you go to the commonsenseshow.com, you can pull this up and you can see the Air Force patents on this. I published them.
I remember, I think it's in the, I want to say this happened in the 90s, but there was a Middle Eastern country that we were having issues with, not Iraq. And we actually, through HAARP, cloud seeded an area and caused torrential flooding and ruined a year's worth of crops, decimated their economy, absolutely decimated their economy. And I think we've also done that in places like Malaysia as well. And the ability's there. Look, everyone is worried about, Vladimir Putin launching nukes. I'm worried about Vladimir Putin finding a way to crack the San Andreas fault line.
They can. They have the capability. So does China.
Yeah,
Uh, so
that's a
so do all
real
the
thing.
nations of NATO do too. Germany, UK, and France, I know for sure, can do this. Australia has capability, and we armed Australia as a precaution against China. Can you block it? There's some evidence to say that you can create a magnetic array and block some of the effects. But that part of technology is pretty gray. I don't know a lot about it. Here's the thing I do know. This all could be initiated from space with Space Command, the Space Force. People say, well, they're going to rain nukes down on the planet. They don't have to. They can do weather wars very easily from space.
That's right. And the cleanup is less of a problem.
That's exactly why you do it. Yeah.
Look, this has been the problem, the speculation for years with Red Dawn and all this other stuff, invasion of America. And you'll only ever hear the elites, the politicians, and the Pentagon people talk about nuclear war. They will never talk about the space fighting. They'll never talk about the actual weather wars. Because, well, there are other options that are more devastating than nuclear war. Vladimir Putin said it. Vladimir Putin gave us three different ideas of a weather war that America could not ever recover from. I'll give you three. He said he has the ability to launch a mothership submarine with a drone submarine that would implant itself on the floor bed, and it would explode a thermonuclear weapon, and it would cause a 1,000-foot tidal wave that would go in 100 miles or more. Okay, this is real science. The Pentagon broke it down. I said, yeah, it possibly could actually happen. And so there's number one. All right, talk about decimate the economy, West Coast, East Coast, Gulf
Well,
Coast, it doesn't
the thing
matter.
is it's the mainstream media will challenge this, but I'll tell you, here's what the mainstream media doesn't challenge. They've done shows on like the History Channel with this. An asteroid hits the Atlantic Ocean, okay, and it creates a tsunami of 1,500 feet and goes 100 miles inland. And you're telling them we can't duplicate that effect with a missile?
Oh,
Give me a
absolutely.
break.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely we can. And now here's the other one. He said that he could crack the San Andreas fault line. And what's the other one that's up there near Washington State? Gosh, I forget about it all the time.
Gosh, it's on the tip of my tongue. We were at a conference in Branson where this was widely discussed.
So this, but this is also that same fault line was part of the big shakeout drill that was part of Grid X that China and Russia were involved in. Okay. And it was a simulation of if that one fault line that's on the northern west coast, guys, you know what we're talking about at this point, at least. If it were to the subduction zone, if the subduction zone,
Cascadia subduction
if the
zone, yes.
Cascadia subduction zone were to
Yep.
crack, not only would it cause a giant tidal wave, and goodbye Portland and Washington, Seattle, and I mean, who's really going to miss that? But that within itself is going to destroy part of the economy. It's going to be lights out West Coast, and it could actually cause a catastrophic earthquake that not only goes from the Cascadia subduction zone to the San Andreas fault line, and then reaching back across the East Coast, or from, excuse me, from West Coast to East Coast of America, but it could also possibly trigger the volcanic fields of the West Coast. And if you don't know this, when I was still in the government, I remember talking to some of my book wor my book nerd friends from USGS. 77 active volcanoes that we have in the West Coast. I didn't know that. 77 active volcanoes.
And then there's the Ring of Fire at 19.5 latitude.
Oh yeah, that's on the other side. Yeah.
We need to do a show on that because this is something I know really well because of my Bill Pollack and Vance Davis association with a guy named Richard Hoagland who really popularized this. Doug, we're almost out of time. This has gone fast. So to sum up, shedding effect is real. We have so much evidence, and we're looking for conclusive, close the book evidence on this. I think we're close if we don't already have it. I'm going to look at Dr. Anna Marie's link that Doug's going to send me. And Doug, tell people how they can follow your good work.
American Vindictus Show is at gsradio.net, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern time frame. Also on YouTube, also on Rumble. And then you have the commonsenseshow.com and the Doug and Dave Intel Report that's also on Rumble. Please make sure that you're liking, sharing, subscribing, commenting, and that you're pushing this out there, because the more you share, especially on YouTube and Rumble, the more we get out in front in the algorithm, because we're shadow banned like crazy.
Oh my gosh, are we ever? I got people on YouTube come, I'm being unsubscribed. I can't resubscribe. Dave, I'm not getting notified whenever you post something now. So, oh yeah, I mean, I had 900 views on a video the other day, and I have over 208,000 subscribers. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. And I don't violate their terms of service. It's just I'm not a popular guy because I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid out of the Biden administration. So there we go. But I think we've made a pretty convincing case that shedding is a major concern and stand up for your community. Don't let the BS from the left come into your community. Oppose it and make Jason's song your theme song. And on that note, for my broadcast partner, Doug Thornton of the American Vindictus Show, I'm Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show. This is the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And we will see you back here again next time. Thank you so much for joining us.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.